Welcome to Powerful at Work Radio, the podcast for business owners like you who value each person and desire to lead powerfully. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon, and it is my goal to help you secure your legacy and make a real impact by establishing a culture where all are empowered to be more creative and efficient without all the burnout and people issues. If you're ready to do things differently, tune in and join the movement. Now let's get after it. As promised, I'm coming at you with a solo episode. We wanted to do this a little bit more this year, since last year it was in my heart to be more present and available to my audience. I want to make sure that you are equipped with all the tools that you need in order to be a very capable leader who establishes a culture for your team to thrive and excel and meet the goals and the vision that you have for your business. And I've enjoyed thoroughly interviewing amazing guests, and I hope you're enjoying those episodes. I'd love to hear from you as far as your favorites, and we try to make sure that you have tools to take action following every episode. But I wanted to try to tackle some of the things that I've been wanting to address personally, and we're going to start with favoritism. This one is one that has come up a lot from teams, and I don't think we address this enough in leadership from this perspective of what is it and why do people decide they don't like it, right, when we're playing favorites. And I wanted to start right off the bat and say that favoritism is good. It's inherently good. It's a good thing. If you think about it, it's human nature to have a favorite. If I asked you what's your favorite ice cream, you would probably have some ideas of your favorite ice cream, unless ice cream's not your thing, in which case we could talk about any other type of food. It's good to be able to have a discerning palate and to know what I like, what I don't like, what do I like to eat. When I go somewhere to eat, isn't it the hardest thing to look at a menu and go, I don't even know what I'm hungry for today, or even deciding where to eat? Who's been in that position where nothing really sounds good, but I just know that I'm hungry, and all of a sudden someone starts throwing out some options and you decide, oh, okay, this sounds good, or that for sure doesn't sound good, and I can turn it away and go, no, that's not for me. And so we have to embrace the fact that there is a good quality to having a favorite in terms of just knowing yourself. You're not a bland person. You're someone with personal values. You're someone with personal interests, hobbies, and you enjoy some things and you don't enjoy others. And so it's good to know what your favorite things are, whether it's people, whether it's things in your life, whether it's decluttering and not having clothes in your closet that you no longer wear, you no longer opt for. Sometimes it's good to officially make a decision and say, I'm no longer interested in this. This is not serving me anymore. I forget who coined the organizational side. I don't know if it's Marie Kondo or Maria Kondo. I'm not into that whole scene, but I am aware that there's a whole idea of thank the item for its service so you don't feel attached to it and you can let it go. And so when you're decluttering your home, I know that's a concept that came out of that field, which I think is a great idea. I actually laugh about it, but I use it in my own life because I like to keep my closet very minimalist. There's a certain staple things I wear. Look, I'm wearing a t-shirt right now and perfectly happy with that. So I'm not a fashion icon per se, but I have friends that do embrace that and I lean on them to help me when I need it. But for the most part, I like to keep things simple. So I know that about myself. And so as a leader, knowing yourself is a great quality. And part of knowing yourself is knowing what favorites you have. And I never understood how parents talked about having favorites, because they always said, I love all my children, but I definitely have a favorite. The ones that are honest anyway, because we know it's true. The kids see it, right? The kids see you always pick this favorite for everything. And so the important thing is to just know that this is human nature. It can be a good thing if you use it correctly and if you just embrace it. I think when favoritism becomes bad, it generally is because it seems scarce. Like, I only have attention for my favorite and it's not available to anyone else. And that's when things start to fall apart. So let's tackle it from the perspective of why it's important and why it's valuable. Again, I didn't understand this with parents, but then I became a supervisor and had a new team every year. And it was like, oh, the light went on. I do have a favorite. I have to acknowledge it. But I also take the time to get to know every one of my teammates or the people on my team. And I realize that even though I've had a favorite every year, I don't lean on that favorite for everything, right? I don't just give that person all the assignments that have a reward attached or have good visibility attached. Like, I tend to assign tasks based on every person's best gift. So I play to people's strengths. And so, you know, if you're a parent or if you deal with groups of people, with your leader, you know that you have to have time for everyone. And it has to be quality time. You don't want to rush time with people just because your time is limited. And one of the things that is hugely important to culture is getting to know the people that you work with. And when you do that, every person may not be your favorite. There's just a personality connection that you're going to have with certain people that makes them your favorite. But you'll have favorites in terms of, I really like how this person performs these types of activities. And in this field, this person is my go-to person. And so you don't necessarily have to keep people in a box, but when you get to know people, you decide that there's favorite things that you like about each person, and it helps you to make decisions and how you distribute the workload. It helps you to make decisions as to how to play to their strengths and make them all look good in their own way. And so that's the key. So I have nieces now, and the eldest is still my favorite because she's a lot like me. She reminds me of how I was the eldest child, just very independent, very able, very capable, good-natured in the sense of she's really easy to talk to. And also I've noticed lately, especially through the holidays, I have a new niece that came into the family, and there were a lot of people through the holidays, and I was talking to my sister-in-law and she was like, hey, Leilani's been really edgy lately. And I was like, I know my niece. It's probably because she just wants some alone time. You know, she misses being alone. There were all these people at the house saying hi to the baby, and she just wants some alone time. If you give that to her, she'll probably be perfectly happy. So again, I acknowledge that. I realize that I have favorites. And when you acknowledge that for yourself, don't try to shy away from it. It's real. It's human nature. Like I said, we all have favorites. And that's the first piece to making sure that it is used in a healthy way in your organization, because your attention to everyone doesn't have to be limited simply because you have a favorite. And the way that you assign tasks, the way that you offer rewards, the way that you give recognition doesn't have to be limited. And as long as you stay clear on where you're leaning to and you realize that you need to take a step back and pay attention to everyone, then it's really healthy to just acknowledge it and say, you know, I have a favorite, or I have a favorite for this, but not for that. You're not my favorite for this, but I realize that this is going to be a struggle for you to tackle this, but the person who is favored for this is not available. So therefore, I need you to pick up the slack. But that person should know that they're your favorite for something else. So I'm kind of talking a little bit abstractly. So to give you an example, I've had different teams where I have to maybe assign a task where it is a big unknown. And certain people love to take things and just jump right into the deep end and figure it out. And those people are the ones I would look to for those types of assignments. But then there's things that are very well established and it's kind of easy and turnkey of an assignment, but they're so thorough. They're so methodical in the way that they approach something that I like that characteristic more, because when you have someone who loves to jump in the deep end, you're going to have some collateral damage. These are the types of people that are going to take risks, that are going to be quick start, and they're just going to bulldoze right through it. And they're probably still going to have the best intention and want to do things, but it's new and failing is going to happen and some difficulties are going to be encountered, and those people are going to think on their feet and find solutions for you. But even just knowing personalities is a key. There's a lot of personality assessments out there that have helped many teams. There's the DISC assessment, which actually, when I took that one, funny story, I realized that I'm very strong in the D and the C, which is dominant, the leader that takes action, that makes decisions. And then the C is the person that considers all of the things. So when I've had assignments where I've managed a team, for example, for a big race, I looked at the types of runners that they were and how they would be best suited to assign different portions of the race. And I enjoyed looking at the times and looking at all the details of this person does really good in sections of hills and this person does terrible when it's hot. Understanding all those nuances is the C characteristics. And so I learned that I'm very task driven. And when there's work to be done, I forget about the people, even though I love people. So it helped me tremendously as a leader to recognize that I have certain qualities about me and the way that I tackle tasks that helped me to slow down and see the people in spite of the task at hand, whether it's a task I immensely enjoy and I already know the solution. I needed to slow down for my people to be with me and for me not to get ahead of everyone. So I'm a fan of personality assessments. There's so many out there. that it could be a different episode. But my point is, as a leader, embrace the fact that favoritism is good. If your team is sensing some struggles, if you're sensing some tensions with your team where favoritism is not perceived as a good thing, then maybe it's time to evaluate how you're using favoritism inside of your company. And that's something we're going to tackle in the next episode, where I'm going to tackle brown nosy, because brown nosing is real. We all know it exists. So whether it's recognizing it in an employee or someone inside of the company, a direct report, and helping coach someone through this immaturity, or, and in most cases, and whether it's something about you recognizing in yourself how you might be contributing to the problem, that's something that we need to also take very seriously. So tune in next week and we will tackle the issue of brown nosing. Thanks for listening to Powerful at Work Radio. If you subscribe now, you're going to hear from some truly amazing guests who will help you shift into a new approach to leadership so you can develop a healthy relationship with your team and truly maximize your impact. We'll explore stories from experts who are daring to do work differently, and we want to invite you into the conversation. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. We're excited to help you lead a high-performance team with simple advice that you can start using right now for maximum results.